If you would this morning, we will once again go back to the book of Galatians. It's been a couple of Sundays since we were able to have our Sunday morning service as regular service. And so this morning we're going to go back to the book of Galatians. We're in chapter number 2. And just to recap some of the things, just a few weeks ago, we began this series in Galatians that sort of deals with being true to our calling. The calling that God has given to us, and that calling is a calling of Christianity, to be a child of God. We're not talking about religion, we're talking about salvation. We're not talking about an organization, we're talking about not just a system, but we're talking about a salvation that comes from God, that has come to us as individuals, and that we must be careful to make sure that something or someone does not steal away those precious truths that are given to us in our Christian life. We dealt with how that Paul said that he was marveled and he was shocked and surprised that they were so soon removed, these Galatian people that he had preached to. Now he's gone and he writes this letter back to them and he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from the grace of God. How that that grace that came to them and saved them, and now there's a group of people that probably have come from other areas that are beginning to teach that if the Jew was going to be saved, or if the Gentile was going to be saved, they had to follow all the principles and all the rules of the Old Testament Jewish rites. And of course, we know that salvation is not according to our rites or the rituals that we go through. We mentioned at that time that we understand that we are not saved because of where we go to church. And I believe it's very important where we go to church and what that church teaches, but that does not make us a Christian. We're not a Christian this morning because we were born into a particular family. We're not a child of God because we were raised in a home that went to church and made sure we went to church, as my family was, but that did not make me a Christian. It made me a part of a home that was a Christian home. It didn't make me personally a Christian. We dealt with a lot of those areas of what people have added on to Christianity or has added on to salvation. We noted that Jesus said that He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. And therefore, He is the only way, truth, and life. And if any man comes to the Lord, he comes through that way, through Jesus Christ. We have liberty that has been given unto us. The last message a couple of weeks ago that we had was how that there are those that have spied out our liberty, trying to snatch it away. Now, Paul was dealing with a situation in the Galatian church that was trying to mix up the Old Testament rituals with the New Testament salvation. Now, by the way, anyone in the Old Testament that goes to heaven goes just like you and I do. It's not because they keep the commandments. It's not because they go through all the rites and the things that are given in the Old Testament for the Jewish people to make them a separated people. The Jews are a different people. They're different because of their actions. They are different. And especially in the Old Testament, they were different because of their ways. They were different because of their diet. They eat differently. And some of that still follows through today. But that did not make them go to heaven. They went to heaven because they knew there was a Messiah coming and they believed He would come and they trusted that faith, believing before He ever came. You and I today, we look back at the cross. We look back to where Jesus died and we know that He was that promised seed of Abraham and that through Isaac comes all the generations of the Lord. And now Jesus dies on the cross of Calvary, shedding His blood for our sins, and that makes us a Christian when we accept that. without any mixture of anything else. We dealt one service with some of the things that have been mixed in with salvation. Brother Gallagher touched on it just a little bit this morning. There are some groups that say you have to be baptized in order to go to heaven. They'll even go to the extent that you have to be baptized in their church to go to heaven. There are others that have different rules and regulations. They say you've got to do this, and if you don't do this, then your faith is null and void, and you cannot go to heaven. Well, I'm going to deal with this morning on this subject that God is no respecter of persons, and that we have a salvation that is called justification. This morning, if you would, take your Bibles in Galatians chapter 2. We're going to read one verse. We'll read verse number 16. And please bear with me with this throat. Verse number 16, Galatians chapter number 2. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Someone says, well, it sounds like Paul is running circles with that word justified and works of the flesh or the works of the law. Paul is very careful here, as if we was to take the time, we would find out that he has just had an incident with some Jewish believers, and he's just had some problems with them concerning the law and grace. And so in verses 6 through 15, Paul deals with this subject that God is not a respecter of person. You and I this morning, we need to understand that God does not look upon us because of who we are. Because we are of the Western civilization, God doesn't look at us any differently than He does any other person of this world. God does not look at a Jew and a Gentile any different. He has offered His glorious salvation to whosoever will. Let him come and take of that life freely. And so God is no respecter of person. And we know as we study the Scripture that the Jew was a... When I talk about the Jew, I'm talking about the society of the Jews. They were very private in what they did and what they believed. They were very prejudiced in their life. That's why they were surprised. And I've used this a lot of times. That's why His disciples were surprised that He went through Samaria. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. Samaria was that portion of land where the people that lived there were neither Jew nor Gentile. They were a mixed race. They were Jew and Gentile. And so therefore the Jews set them off aside. They were very prejudiced because of them and because of that situation, because they thought, we've got it made. We are children of Abraham. That makes us better than anybody else. Anytime someone tells you they're better than anybody else, they have a problem in their life. I'll guarantee you this morning, I'm not any better than anybody in this building or anybody in this world. I needed the Lord just like everybody else. And so the Jew, when Jesus said, I go through Samaria, they were shocked. And He said, I must needs go through that, because He knew there was a woman there that was going to be at the well. And He told her, said, you drink of the water I give you, you'll never thirst again. She was a Samaritan. He was no respecter of persons. We have in our system of life, we have so many prejudices in our country that have been inbred in us. We have been raised with them, and if we're not careful, they become law to us. But we need to understand that the Lord said that we are neither Jew nor Gentile. That means God doesn't separate us by who we are or what we are. He does not respect that at all. He doesn't look at us and say, you're a little better than somebody. So I believe I'll call you and I won't call them. No, God does not operate that way. And this morning, this thing of prejudice and this system that Paul is dealing with here, and he's dealing with the subject of salvation that is so very important. He tells us in verse number 11 of chapter 2, says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Here the Apostle Peter, as long as he was with the Jews, he was a Jew. He did everything the Jew did. Peter's that one said, Lord, I'd never eat anything that was unclean. And God gave him that vision one day of that table coming down with all sorts of food upon it. And God said, what I've made, don't call anything unclean. And God was talking to Peter about people, not food. So don't call it unclean. And so, when Peter was with the Jew, he was a good Jew. But when there wasn't any Jews around, and he was with the Gentiles, you know what he was? He was a good Gentile. He's like some Baptist I know. Whoever he's with, that's the crowd he follows. And Paul said, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. Paul told him, said, you're wrong. Your prejudices have come into play, and now we have this problem here at Galatia and these churches of Galatia, because those that are strict Orthodox Jew, they say you've got to follow all the rites and the rituals of the Jewish religion in order to go to heaven. And Peter, you're playing right into their hand. And so Paul withstood him. You know what they had? They had a good old-fashioned argument. There's nothing wrong with arguing. The Bible says we can be angry and sin not. I don't know if I've ever comprehended that or not. Sometimes our anger gets too much of us. But we can have conflict with people and not be harmful, but it is to be helpful. And so Paul comes to Peter and says, This is not the way it's done. This is wrong. Don't respect people. God doesn't respect people. Sometimes we respect people because of their social status. Oh, they've got a lot, so I've got to be good around them. I've got to look a certain way. I've got to be a certain way around them. God doesn't respect us that way. You know what? God doesn't look at my bank account. He doesn't look at your bank account, whether or not He uses us or whether or not He loves us. And I'm so glad. We find that these things become a hindrance of who we are and becomes a hindrance of what happens in our life. Becomes a hindrance in what we do for the Lord because we have let things come between us and other people. And so Peter was wrong in his stance, and he sort of fed this false teaching that if you're going to be a child of God, then you had to be like a Jew. If you're going to do that, then you had to be like they were. And so, Paul now, in verse 16 where we read, he's dealing with this subject of justification. Galatians is an open defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every time we have opened the book of Galatians, we have dealt with the gospel because it is a defense of the gospel. Paul declares that there's one gospel, not another gospel. He declares that he is no other salvation other than through Jesus Christ. He declares that Jesus Christ came by the revelation of God, not by the thoughts of men, not by what we conjure up in our minds. But Jesus is the Son of God, sent to us from God of heaven, and comes to us that we might have life. And our text verse here, I believe, probably is the key verse of the entire book. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. We are going to heaven this morning because we have been justified, if we're saved. See, there's a lot of terminology, a lot of things that we have to deal with. Justification is something that is more of a legal term than anything else. When a person trusts the Lord Jesus Christ, when they call upon the Lord and He saves them, then the Bible says we are justified. Now, I'm doing the calling. I'm doing the asking. I'm confessing my sins and I'm asking the Lord to save me. And that's what God tells us to do. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But as I call upon His name, then He responds and He reacts to me. You see, there's a law that is a universal law. For every action, there is a reaction. And when I have my action toward God, there is a reaction from God, and the Bible says that He justifies me. That word justify, so I says, what does it mean? Well, we have used a lot of little cliches. Someone said that justified is defined by the words, just as if I'd never sinned. And that's the result of justification. God looks at me, but He sees a clean heart. God looks at me, and He sees righteousness. Now, we look at us, we don't see that. I don't see a clean heart in me. I don't see a clean heart in you. I don't see righteousness in me. I see some righteous works in all of us. But God looks at us because He has declared us innocent. He has declared us righteous. When I called upon the Lord, He saved me and He justified me. At that moment of my belief and my trust, the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart, then the Bible says God justified me. He made me pure. He made me holy. He made me righteous. And when God looks upon me, God doesn't see my past. God doesn't see what I was. God doesn't see who I was. God sees the righteousness that was given to me through Jesus Christ, through the blood of the Lord. God sees me as perfect and pure. Therefore, I'm justified not by the works of the flesh nor the works of the law, but I'm justified by the grace of God. Praise the Lord. The word justification means to be declared righteous. It is a judicial act of God to declare the believer righteous without guilt from any condemnation. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no what? Condemnation. Right now, this moment, Paul says to those Roman believers, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that believe. I thank God I'm a believer. So therefore the condemnation has been removed. And somebody said, well, I don't feel too condemned. Well, Jesus said, you're condemned already. Jesus said in John chapter 3, the great verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And the next verse says, but God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You read on down, He says to Nicodemus, you're condemned already. Whether we feel like it? Well, I've got a lot of good works. The works of the flesh do not justify us. I've done everything that somebody's told me to do. The works of the flesh do not make us a Christian. Well, I've followed every dictate. I've followed every rule. I've tried to be a good person. For the works of the flesh do not justify us. And so Paul is dealing with this subject here with these Galatian people, that they must understand that justification is an act. It's not a process. It's an action immediate when we trust the Lord. Now the Bible talks about us growing in the grace of the Lord. There's another term. It's called sanctification. And part of sanctification is a progression that takes place from the time we're born until the time we get to heaven. We're growing in the grace of God. But justification is not a process. Justification is an act of God that declares me innocent. Praise the Lord. My sins are gone. The song says, you ask me why I'm happy, I'll tell you why. Because my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Justification really is the clothing of the believer. It's the garment that Christ and His righteousness has been put upon us. It's more than a pardon. It's more than forgiveness. It's putting us in with Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4, verse number 8, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." The word impute means add to or to give. Blessed is that man whom the Lord will not impute or give sin. You know why He doesn't do that? Because we've been declared righteous. That's why I talk about, and we believe, and we preach hard and long that my sins are gone, not only past sins, my present sins are gone, and my future sins are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. They're gone. I don't have to wonder and worry and say, "Oh, I hope I do good enough to go to heaven." There's a lot of people this morning that are unclear and they're unsure and sometimes they're even in a fanatical state of not sure they're going to heaven. They're afraid to die because they don't understand that if they got saved, their sins are gone. Thank God for the assurance that the Lord gives us in His Word. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, we have that assurance if we believe in Jesus Christ. It's a declaration. God declares us. And then Paul says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies." It is God that does the work. Who can charge me with anything if I'm saved? Who can say, "You're not going to heaven"? I see your deeds. I see what you do. I see your actions. I see your attitude. You can't be a Christian. You can't charge me with that if I'm really born again, because God has already justified me. Now, my attitude may be wrong. My deeds may be wrong. My actions may be wrong. But that's between me and God, and He knows how to take care of me. He knows how to handle me. He knows how to correct me. He knows how to make the crooked path straight. He knows how to smooth out the heels and fill in the bumps. He knows how to make me righteous in my deeds and my actions, as well as being declared righteous by justification. And so, Paul is dealing with this to these Galatian believers because there's someone in here that has tried to, what was the last time we studied? Tried to steal away their liberty, freedom, joy. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. We're justified freely. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to pay for it. We don't have to do anything to obtain it other than to believe upon Him, and He saves us. Justification operates through the divine mercy of God. It operates through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, and by the way, Romans is a great book on the subject of justification. Romans chapter 5, and verse 9. "Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." I'm no longer under the wrath of God. I'm His child. Well, the first verses I read a while ago, I'm one of His elect. I'm one of His that has He has chosen and He's brought to me salvation. Therefore, who can lay anything to my charge? Who can do anything against me? Because it is God that has justified, and we are justified by His blood, and we're saved from wrath. That's why we don't believe that the child of God goes through the tribulation. That's the wrath of God upon this earth. And we have been justified, therefore we're immune from the wrath of God. No longer does it hover over us. Justification would be no justification at all if it was not for the resurrection. See, when we're dealing with some of these words, we're dealing with some pretty deep stuff in the Scripture. And I'm trying my best to make it as simple and easy that we can understand. But justification hinges on the resurrection. We know what a hinge is. This pulpit has a door here. It opens and closes because it has a hinge. I got a secret compartment up here. It hinges. Justification hinges upon the knowledge and upon the truth of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus lived a perfect life. We know He died a death. He died as a sinner. Not only did He die as a sinner, He died for sinners. And me being declared righteous, it all hinges upon what one little thing called resurrection. 3 days, 3 nights, the Scripture tells us that Jesus was in the heart of the earth. He was laid in a borrowed tomb because he wasn't going to have to use it very long. And they put him in there, and they wrapped his body, and they did all the ointments and things that needed to be done. And they even came back to do some more things, and the stone's been rolled away. They look in, and there's no body. They look in and all they see is the grave clothes. And they see a napkin that's been folded. And so, He's not there. And you and I this morning, if there is no resurrection, there is no heaven. If there is no resurrection, there is nothing beyond the last heartbeat that I take. Oh, but we believe. And the Bible declares that there is and was a resurrection. Romans chapter 4, verse number 25 says, "Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." He was delivered for our sins. He died for our sins. But oh, thank God this morning we have justification because He arose again. He's alive forevermore. Coming upon the springtime, and Easter will be upon us, and the world will talk about the resurrection. And most of the world has no idea what they're talking about. They'll put dates on it, and they'll put time frames and all that stuff. But you and I this morning, if we're saved, we've been declared righteous. Not by the works of the flesh. It's not because I got baptized. It's not because I keep all the rules. It's not because I go through the whatever my church tells me to do. I'm going to heaven because Jesus arose from the dead. And I believe Him. And so Paul writes to these Galatian people. And he says, knowing... If you look at verse 15, he says, "We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles." You know who he's talking to there? He's talking to Peter also, and we. "I withstood him now, Peter, we being Jews." We're not the sinners like the Gentiles. We're different than Gentiles. We're Jews. But we're not justified because we're Jews. We're not justified because we keep the law. We're not justified because we take the marks in the body. We're not justified because we do everything the commandments tell us to do. We're justified by the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Law and justice demand punishment for sin. Romans declares, "For the wages of sin is death." So there are some things working against us. It's called sin. It's called our nature. It's called ungodliness. Even though we dress it up pretty good. Even though we work at it real hard, we want to look like everybody else. We want to act like everybody else. But you see, this thing of salvation is a heart matter. It's not a flesh matter. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The law demands that a person, read it, The Old Testament law, man, if he sinned, he died. Spiritually speaking, if we sin without our sins being forgiven, we die, the second death. God even declares Himself in Exodus chapter 23, I will not justify the wicked. God said, I'm not going to pass over it. I will not justify the wicked. So how does the wicked make sure, how does the wicked get to position that God will justify him? Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And when you're saved, God justifies the righteous. Praise the Lord. How long does it last? It's going to last till we see the Lord. Justification is unmerited, not worked for, therefore it's eternal. Titus chapter 3, verse 7. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Justification brings an assurance. Isaiah 32, verse 17. And the works of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. You know, the most quiet-minded people on this earth. You know, the most assuring people upon this earth are folks that are Christians. We have a peace that's within us that the world does not understand. It's a peace that passes all understanding, the Bible says. And so we have that given to us not by our works, not by the law, but simply by the act of God that declares me righteous, justified. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5. Paul says, For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. As you know what manner of men we were among you, for your sake. Paul said, we lived a certain way among you, not to build us up, but to help you. May God help us to understand this morning that we are justified. Jay, you know what day you got saved? What day did you get saved? 1959, Jay got saved. I'm sure I have to go around the auditorium this morning. Our minds go back. So strange. How old were you? No, how old were you when you got saved? He was 30. The night before his 30th birthday, he got saved. 1959. When's your birthday? The night before his 30th birthday, November the 22nd, 1959, God declared him justified, righteous. In 1959, November the 15th, just a month after my birthday, God declared me righteous. Jay was 30. I was 8. But the God of heaven did the same thing for me they did for him. Just a few days apart. I didn't know that. Make me want to run. Well, 1959 is a good year. Good for some of us, wasn't it? I could go around the building this morning. We all have our dates. We all have our times. Don't put too much stock in that. I've told you my story. A long time I didn't know the day or the month. I was 8 years old. I didn't care what month it was. I didn't know what day it was. I just know one night I trusted the Lord. And I've heard preachers preach. I'll tell it again. We'll close. I've heard preachers preach. If you don't know the day nor the hour, you're probably not saved. I do not accept that. That's heresy. And it was not until my grandmother passed away. She passed away in 1976, a month of the day after my daughter was born. And I went through her things. And I've still got her Bible. And on the, you know how people do on the little leaves of your Bible that's blank, write things. She had two dates. One was my uncle. My uncle was a tough cookie. And she prayed and prayed and prayed for him. And he got saved. Revival meeting. Just a few weeks before I did. And she put down that name, Lawrence James. Saved. I don't know, I'd have to look. And right under that, everybody knows my name anyway. She's got Lawrence Delbert. November 15th. Say it. Praise the just saying, God declares us justified. Nothing I do, nothing you do, all of Him. And anything that mixes, I don't care what religion it is, I don't care what it's called, it can be called Baptist. I don't care what you call it. Anything that mixes anything with the grace of God. Paul says, God forbid. For we are saved by grace through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. He alone has called us. He has saved us. And praise the Lord, one day He's going to take us home. Why? Because we're justified in Him. Let's stand together this morning.